Okay, welcome into a Gun Talk Nation. As you can tell, no, I am not Ryan Gresham. He unfortunately is out, and I get to step in, and I'm very excited to bring on our next guest. Our next guest is a guy that if I was showing up to a Sporting Clays event, to a trap game, anything like that, this is the last guy I'd want to see walk up to that line. But our Gun Talk Nation is brought to you by Lockdown, Secure Your Lifestyle, and by Crimson Trace, Complete Focus. And they are completely focused on your needs in optics and everything else. So our next guest, and I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that our next guest doesn't remember the first time I met him. I'm going to almost guarantee it, because it was back in 2008 in San Antonio, and I see this guy. At the time, there's this kid walking around in a Kansas State shooting vest and just smoking the entire field. And it was a joy to watch him work. It was a ACUI national championships, it was an amazing display of shooting. And joining me today is Mr. Derek Mine. Derek, welcome in.
Hey, good to be here.
Well, it's been a long time since we've talked last, but I remember distinctly and watching you shoot that and going back and just shaking my head, because I've never seen someone so proficient at what they do. And where did you pick up this art?
You know, I was very blessed that, as a bunch of our friends and fellow competitors say, I fell pretty close to the tree when it came from my dad. You know, he's a pretty good competitor in his own right, won a world championship. And so I guess you'd have to say I came by it honestly.
Well, it's shotgun. I mean, you can't really necessarily say shotgun shooting, because there's all types of disciplines and everything like that. And we'll kind of get into that. But I really kind of wanted to focus on, you know, your initial like lessons that you really learned and you really gravitated towards. Because growing up in a shotgunning family, man, I bet you pick up some great, great little small tips that really help you in the long run.
Well, you know, I don't know if I really remember any tips that my dad gave me as much as just watching him do it and try and emulate him is probably more than any one or two tips that he ever gave me as far as actually shooting the shotgun.
So it's basically surround yourself with the best company.
It's pretty without a doubt. You know, Dad started shooting competitive maybe a year before I did, so not that long. So we both kind of grew in the sport together. However, I started at age 8, you know, and he was in his late 30s when he started. So, a little bit different there. So he took to the game a little quicker than I did, just from a, you know, pure maturity standpoint. But definitely didn't hurt having him alongside, watching him shoot and learning how to do it myself.
So I guess my question is, you know, because I think in every father's life, there's at some point you start to realize, oh my gosh, this kid's going to overtake me sometime. Like, and when is that going to be? So when did your dad, do you think, started to go, this kid's pretty good?
I don't know, because we still have good head-to-head battles.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, he's still doing it, and he's still doing well, but man.
Yeah, we were at a shoot a couple weeks ago, and he beat me in a shoot-off to win one day, but he ended up winning every day of the shoot.
Oh, really?
So, you know, he's still capable of
He's still dishing it out. Do you ever remember the first time you actually beat him?
I don't know if I remember the first time I beat him. I remember the most memorable time I beat him. I was actually kind of a sad story for my part, because we made it to the club and realized that I had left my gun at the house. So I had to use his gun and ended up beating him with his own gun.
Ow. Ow. That's got it. Oh, man, that's got to suck. That's pretty harsh, man. That's a harsh reality when your son beats you with your own gun. Man, I don't know if I could live with myself after that. Well, it's interesting. And so for a lot of our listeners and viewers on the socials, give an idea of how many disciplines there are that you actually compete in. Because I know there's international trap, there's five stand, there's all this stuff. What would you say? I want to know your favorites. I want to know just a little bit about it.
So, my favorite is still sporting clays. You know, that's what I cut my teeth on at an early age. And, you know, I knew trap and skeet existed, but didn't really shoot any trap until I'd shot sporting clays for 4 or 5 years. And then, you know, I've shot some ATA, and this year I shot the World Skeet Shoot, which is, I shot one other registered skeet shoot back when I was running a gun club. It was at that club hosting the shoot, so I was able to fit in and shoot. But I really haven't shot a whole lot of skeet. And then, of course, I've been shooting Olympic trap. I've shot some international skeet, which is what they shoot in the Olympics as well.
Right.
And I've shot Jalice. I won a national championship in Jalice, and was a member of the world championship team in 2009 alongside my dad. So that was pretty cool.
That's cool. That's a cool little event to be part of.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny is dad and I both shot off for bronze that year at the world championships individually. He won the medal. I think there were six of us in the shoot off, and he ended up winning the shoot off for third to get the bronze. And I think I ended up sixth or seventh.
Oh man. So, well, that's just making up a little bit for you beating him with his own gun, I think.
Probably so.
We'll call it that. But, I mean, we're just going to call it that.
Yeah, but, you know, and I also shoot the game of FITAS, which is the way I explain it to people is there's two kinds of sporting clays. You have FITAS sporting and English sporting. And what we call sporting clays here in the U.S., the rest of the world calls English sporting.
Okay.
And then FITAS is what pretty much every non-English speaking country calls sporting.
Okay.
So
that's interesting. What do you think is, what's the most difficult I guess it's just depends on who you are is what you find most difficult, but what traditionally and across the board would you say is the most difficult to shoot?
Definitely Olympic trap. It's probably the most challenging game to be good at, as far as going out and being able to compete on a world level.
Okay.
It is definitely the game I would consider the hardest. It's also probably one of the harder games if you were taking out a new shooter, it's one of the hardest games to actually get them to break a target because the targets are flying so fast.
Yeah, I wouldn't bode well in that game. That would not be my forte. Can you just like sit there with a hand thrower and throw it, and that would be mine. I would feel real comfortable with that.
Hey, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You can have a lot of fun with those old hand throwers.
Is that how you got started, or did you just start out? Did you just start out breaking?
I remember when I was a young kid. Dad had a hand cock machine mounted to an old wheel.
Okay.
You know, we'd shoot targets on that, kind of getting ready to go quail hunting. When I was a young kid, you know, I'd shoot a handful with the 410 and break a few and miss a few. And then when Dad started shooting sporting clays, I tagged along with him and was fortunate enough that he let me give it a try.
I'm glad he did. That was awful nice of him.
Yeah.
So are we going to be having the Olympics anytime soon? Cause You were on the team, right?
Yeah. So I made the 2020 Olympic team. That team is carried over to this year, or next year, I mean, for 2021. They are going to have the Olympic Games opening ceremonies is July 23rd.
Okay.
You know, we're not sure on what kind of protocols are going to be in place for health safety standards or anything like that, or if there will be spectators allowed. But, you know, they have guaranteed that we are going to have the game.
Oh, well, I mean, that's something to look forward to.
Right. And, you know, I'm probably anticipating something similar to what the NBA did with their bubble and that kind of approach is what I expect to happen. But, you know, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, and, you know, we'll see what happens when we get there.
Well, you're just surgical in a lot different ways than regular doctors, okay? But, you know, it's such a weird year in 2020 to be able to carry over onto a team. What process did you have to go to make that Olympic team, and what does it mean for you to be able to shoot with them?
Well, so it's, I tell everyone, it is at bare minimum a 4-year process to make the Olympic team. You have to be shooting good enough to go to some World Cups, get some experience in. And then most importantly, you have to qualify to go shoot a World Cup or the World Championships or the Pan American Games or the Continental Championships, where you can establish your minimum qualification score for the Olympic Games, which for men's trap is 112 out of 125. So pretty, you know, you got to prove that you're confident to be eligible. And then with that World Championships, the World Cup or the Continental Games or the Pan American Games, somebody from the U.S. had to win one of the quota spots for the country. So each country can get a maximum of 2 quotas. We got both of ours at the Pan American Games. So that gave us 2 Olympic berths to shoot for in our Olympic trials. And then so once we got to the trials, the Olympic trials were 500 targets split over 2 separate events. One was in September of last year, and the other one was in February this year. Added the 500 together, and the top 6 shoot an additional 50 targets for a final. And that is all single shot. For qualification, you get 2 shots at each target.
Okay.
And that 50 is added to the 500, and at the end of that, the top 2 go on to the Olympics.
And you were one of the top 2?
I was the top guy.
Oh, wow. All right. You're shooting varsity.
Yeah.
I kind of want to – okay. We're gonna self-diagnose a problem that I see happen to a lot of shooters. And I wouldn't want to go hunting with you at all if we were in a quail field or something like that, because we'd yell bird and they'd already all be shot. But how come a lot of guys can go into the field and they shoot great into the field, but then they get on a trap or a skeet field and they can't hit squat?
A lot of it comes from birds tend to start out slow and speed up, whereas clay targets start out fast and slow down. Okay. So you have a lead built in on a clay pigeon that you have to break it. Whereas a bird that's just getting up is slowly accelerating, generally doesn't take a whole lot of lead. You know, clay pigeon is most of the time at minimum twice as fast as a quail getting up. You know, you're talking 40 to 45 mile an hour off the trap, versus starting from zero and accelerating up to that 30 or 35, however fast quail can fly. So that has a lot to do with it. More than anything, though, it has to do with instinctive shooting. When a bird gets up on the cover of your eyes, you don't have time to think about it. You see it, you mount the gun, you shoot it.
Right.
Whereas on a trap or a skeet field or sporting clay station, you get a view of the target. So you know what the target's going to do, and you have all the time you need to be prepared for the shot. Well, all that does is open up the door for a lot of thinking to come into play.
Okay.
And that's when people end up looking at their gun, trying to aim the gun instead of looking at their target and trusting that the hands will point the gun in the right direction.
Right. And that's typically why guys will miss, I guess, to the back of the target or something like that quite a bit. They're behind, always behind.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of had an idea that you were going to say something similar to that, is that, you know, it's the speeding up and the birds just now getting up. But what always gets me is the guy at the end of the line who the bird's flying out and he shoots at it at like the furthest distance out. Like he shoots at it at like 50 yards. That sometimes is me. And then I'm like, I'm never going to hit that bird. But you're saying shoot quick, shoot instinctive.
Yeah. Yep. Trust your instincts. Trust what your eyes are giving your information or giving information to your brain. Trust that. And most of the time you're going to be more successful.
And you know, another thing that I see a lot of is sometimes guns just don't fit the shooter. And I'm sure like for you, that fit and finish of the gun is everything.
Yeah. You know, that I'm so reliant on my gun fitting perfectly that my mount, gun mount and my move and everything is all a part of that gun fit. And if it doesn't fit quite right, it throws off my move and causes me to be inconsistent on my approach to the targets. Okay. So I have to have everything fit me perfect so I can do the same thing over and over again, which is what it takes to be a winner on the clay target range.
Well, I mean, as a professional shooter and I think it's 13 state titles in Kansas now, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you know a little bit about fit and finish, but for the guys out there, they're like, well, how do I know if my gun fits me right? You know, maybe he's not breaking all the clays that he thinks he should. What would you tell those guys that just aren't sure?
So the simplest thing you can do is get in front of a big mirror with your shotgun. Make sure it's unloaded, of course. And close your eyes and mount the gun. And then open your eyes, and you should be looking in the mirror. And if the gun fits you right, the beads will be lined up from your vision to the mirror. And if you look in the mirror, they should be lined up back into your eye.
So it's just a straight line. You should basically see beads in your eye, and that's about it.
Yep. And you know, if your eye is sitting a little over the top of the rib and you can see a little space in the two beads on your gun, that's okay.
Okay.
It being lined up in line is way more important than the beads being one behind each other.
Okay. I'm going to throw a kink in this because I've got to play a little devil's advocate. So what if the guy doesn't have the gun at home? What if he's in, you know, the local sporting goods store and he's sitting there going, well, I really like the feel of this, but just because he likes the feel of it doesn't necessarily, it always will fit him.
Right. And you can do the same thing. You just don't have the mirror to look back at your own eye and the way it sits on the gun, but you can close your eyes, mount the gun and open your eyes. And you should, if the gun fits you pretty close, you should be looking right down the rib and the bead should be fairly close to lined up.
Right. Because I've had those buddies and I've bought shotguns too that, oh man, that gun looks like it operates great. And I get it. I purchase it thinking, you know what? It'll be close. I'll adjust my body to the gun rather than the gun just fitting my natural point of aim. And I get it back and some buddies have gotten them back and go, man, I can't hit anything with that. And a lot of it, I'm guessing, is fit and finish.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the beauty of a lot of our modern shotguns today come with, especially on the semi-auto side, come with shims and spacers and stuff that allow you to adjust the gun to get it closer to fitting you instead of you having to fit the gun.
Yeah. And that's, it's important, man. It is important. So once a guy gets a gun that he likes and it almost fits him, what would you recommend him doing? Would you recommend him taking it somewhere and like kind of fine tuning it?
Yeah, you know, there's quite a few gunsmiths around the country that can help some of, you know, like the people I use are Winnig Custom Gun Stocks in Lincoln, Missouri.
Okay.
They've been a big supporter of mine. They specialize in custom-built stocks, but they will also do gun fitting as well, where they take your stock, maybe put an adjustable comb on it or adjustable butt plate to adjust the gun so it fits you properly.
It's as easy as that. Like, that's about as easy as it gets. Just take it to someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
So this isn't something I could take care of at the kitchen table?
You know, a lot of times you might be at your workbench would be a better place than the kitchen table.
Just please make sure those guns are unloaded. Well, you know, you grew up hunting. You grew up hunting quail and deer and all that good stuff in Kansas. Probably no better place to learn how to shoot than on those wild birds in Kansas. But you guys get a good mix of now in this northern half, there's quite a bit of pheasant, right?
Yeah. So we always go out to southwest Kansas every year for a pheasant hunt. And we do pretty good. Where I grew up, we don't have any pheasants. Lots of myths on why, but I don't know the actual reason why pheasants can't survive in southeast Kansas, but for whatever reason they don't. We used to have a bunch of quail. That population has been struggling for the last 20 years.
Yeah. And it is frustrating because my area is the same way. We fluctuate and you never know why. But one thing I did want to touch on real briefly, I know you're shooting with Federal now. What would you recommend, you know, if a guy's looking to get into trap, he's looking to start shooting, what type of, you know, what ammunition would you recommend to him and recommend him starting out at?
Well, you know, for somebody just getting into the sport, you know, the Federal Top Gun line, they're available at just about any Walmart. Most sporting goods stores will carry it. Is a very good, in the shooting sports, we call them promotional loads, but they're a good high quality, lower price shell for that's great for somebody getting started in trap or skeet or sporting clays. I usually recommend to new shooters to start with a 1 ounce load, just because it has less recoil and allows you to, you know, you're not worried about the gun knocking you around or anything like that.
Yeah, that's great advice. And we're nearing the end of our time, but just a couple tips out there, because you had a great mentor growing up, and I know a lot of folks look up to you right now. What advice would you give to, you know, the dads and the moms out there that, you know, have kids that are wanting to get into this? Are there any tips that you'd give them or suggestions that you might give them to where to get started and all that good stuff?
You know, the best thing to do is look up and find your local range. There's plenty of trap and skeet and sporting clays clubs all across the country. You know, look up, find the one that's closest to you. Maybe give them a call and say, hey, you know, what's your guys' process for us coming out and shooting? And, I would always suggest getting a hold of one of the instructors there at that club to help with basic fundamentals of getting started in shooting. You know, once you progress in abilities and stuff, then you can start looking for better instructors as far as pure competition. But, just about every club has several guys on their list that can help get you started with basic fundamentals and that kind of stuff. But the number one thing that I tell every parent that I see getting their kids started is don't push them too hard. Let it be their choice to go shoot and get better. So many times I see parents push their kids way too hard. And by the time they get to high school or to to college, they're burnt out on the game and don't have a love for it anymore.
Yeah, and honestly, a lot of times, if you're involved in it, they're going to get involved in it. They're going to see the fun that you're having. And great advice from, man, probably, honestly, he's probably the best shotgun shooter that I've ever witnessed shoot. But you know what? I haven't seen his dad shoot yet. So, Mr. Derek Mine, thank you so much. And, man, thank your dad for allowing us the opportunity to see your growth and your continued success over the years. And, man, from everybody at Gun Talk Nation, we wish you the very best. And hopefully you'll come away with gold in the 2021 Olympics.
Well, that's certainly my dream. You know, we'll see what happens when I get there, but definitely got a lot of work ahead of me the next year.
You do, so. But we do have the utmost confidence in you, and we believe you'll get the job done. But again, folks, Derek Mine, thank you for joining Gun Talk Nation, and we will see you on the other side.